Chapter 14.
They stood there silently, Mara and Luke, waiting as the dark hooded shadow moved toward them, a lightsaber glittering in his hand. Back behind the figure, an old man stood, craziness in his eyes and blue lightning in his hands. The shadow stopped and raised his weapon. Luke stepped away from Mara, lifting his own lightsaber, his mind filled with horror and dread. The alarms wailed through the suite from the corridor outside, jolting Leia awake and shattering the nightmare into fragments of vivid color. Her first thought was that the alarm was for Luke and Mara. Her second was that another Imperial commando team had gotten into the palace. But as she came awake enough to recognize the pitch of the alarm, she realized it was even worse. Coruscant was under attack. Across the room, the twins began to cry. Winter! Leia shouted, grabbing her robe and throwing what she could in the way of mental comfort in the twins' direction. Winter was already in the doorway, halfway into her own robe.
That's a battle alert, she called to Leia over the alarm.
I know, Leia said, tying the robe around her. I have to get to the war room right away.
I understand, Winter said, peering intently at her face. Are you all right?
I had a dream, that's all, Leia told her, snagging a pair of half-boots and pulling them on. Trust Winter to pick up on something like that, even in the middle of chaos. Luke and Mara were having a battle with someone, and I don't think they were expecting to win.
Are you sure it was just a dream?
Leia bit at her lip as she fastened the half-boots. I don't know, she had to admit. If it hadn't been a dream, but instead had been a Jedi vision...
No, it had to be a dream, she decided. Luke would be able to tell from space if Sabaoth or another dark Jedi was there. He wouldn't risk trying to carry out the mission under those conditions. I hope not, Winter said,
but she didn't sound all that confident about it.
Don't worry about it, Leia assured her. It was probably just a bad dream sparked by the alarms going off.
And fueled by a guilty conscience, she added silently, for letting Han and Luke talk her into letting them go to Wayland in the first place.
Take care of the twins, will you? We'll watch them, Winter said.
We? Leia glanced around, frowning, and for the first time spotted Mobvikar and the other two Nogri who'd taken up positions in the shadows around the crib. They hadn't been there when she went to bed, she knew, which meant they must have slipped in from the suite's main living area sometime in the minute or so since the alarm had gone off, without her noticing.
You may go without fear, Lady Vader,
Mobvikar said solemnly.
Your heirs will come to no harm.
I know, Leia said, and meant it.
She picked up her comlink from her nightstand, considered calling for information, but slipped it into the side pocket of her robe instead. The last thing the war room staff needed right now was to have to spend time explaining the situation to a civilian. She'd know soon enough what was happening.
I'll be back when I can, she told Winter.
Grabbing her lightsaber, she left the suite. The hallway outside was filled with beings of all sorts, some of them hurrying along on business, the rest milling around in confusion or demanding information from the security guards standing duty. Leia maneuvered her way past the guards and through the clumps of anxious discussion, joining a handful of sleep-tousled military aides hurrying toward the turbolifts. A full car was just preparing to leave as she arrived. Two of the occupants, obviously recognizing Counselor Organa Solo, promptly gave up their places. The door slid shut behind her, barely missing a chattering pair of brown-robed Jawas who brazenly pushed their way aboard at the last instant, and they headed down. The entire lower floor of the palace was given over to military operations, starting with the support service offices on the periphery, moving inward to the offices of Akbar and Drayson and other duty commanders, and onto the more vital and sensitive areas in the center. Leia cleared herself through the duty station, passed between a towering pair of Wookiee guards, and stepped through the blast doors into the war room. Bare minutes after the alarm had sounded, the place was already a scene of marginally controlled chaos, as freshly awakened senior officers and aides hurried to battle positions. A single glance at the master tactical display showed that all the furor was fully justified. 8 Imperial Interdictor cruisers had appeared in a loose grouping around the 116 Vector in Sector 4. their hyperdrive dampening gravitic cones, blocking all entry or exit from the region immediately around Coruscant. Even as she watched, a new group of ships flicked into the center of the cluster. Two more interdictors, plus an escort of 8 Katana Fleet dreadnoughts.
"What's going on?"
an unfamiliar voice said at Leia's shoulder. She turned. A young man, a kid really, was standing there, scratching at a mop of tangled hair and frowning up at the tactical. For a moment, she didn't recognize him. Then her memory clicked. Ghent. The Slicer card had lent them to help crack the bank break-in code that the Imperials had framed Admiral Akbar with. She'd forgotten he was still here.
"It's an Imperial attack," she said.
"Oh," he said.
"Can they do that?" "We're at war," she reminded impatiently. "In war, you can do just about anything the other side can't stop you from doing. How did you get in here anyway?"
"Oh, I cut myself an entry code a while back," he said, waving a vague hand, his eyes still on the tactical. "Haven't had much to do lately. Can't you stop them?"
"We're certainly going to try," Leia said grimly, looking around the room.
Across by the command console, she spotted General Ryken.
"Stay out of the way, and don't touch anything."
She'd gotten 2 steps toward Ryken when her brain suddenly caught up with her.
Ghent, who'd cut himself a top-level access code because he didn't have anything better to do.
She spun around, took 2 steps back, and grabbed Ghent's arm.
"On second thought, come with me," she said,
steering him through the chaos to a door marked Crypt, opening off the side of the war room. She keyed in her security code, and the door slid open. It was a good-sized room, crowded to the gills with computers, decryptechs, and interface droids.
"Who's in charge here?"
Leia called, as a couple of heads swung her direction.
"I am,"
a middle-aged man wearing a colonel's insignia said, taking a step back from one of the consoles into about the only bit of empty space in the room.
"I'm Counselor Organa Solo,"
Leia identified herself.
"This is Ghent, an expert slicer. Can you use him?"
"I don't know,"
the colonel said, throwing the kid a speculative look.
"Ever tackled an Imperial battle encrypt code, Ghent?"
"Nope," Ghent said. "Never seen one. I've sliced a couple of their regular military encrypts, though."
"Which ones?"
Ghent's eyes went a little foggy.
"Well, there was one called the Lapido program. Oh, and there was something called the Ilko encrypt back when I was 12. That was a tough one. Took me almost 2 months to slice."
Someone whistled softly.
"Is that good?"
Leia asked. The colonel snorted.
"I'd say so, yes. Ilko was one of the master encrypt codes the Empire used for data transfer between Coruscant and the original Death Star construction facility at Horus. It took us nearly a month to crack it."
He beckoned.
"Come on over, son. We've got a console for you right here. If you liked Ilko, you're going to love battle encrypts."
Ghent's face lit up, and he was picking his way between the other consoles as Leia slipped back into the war room. To find the battle was underway. 6 Imperial Star Destroyers had come in from hyperspace through the center gap of the Interdictor group, splitting into 2 groups of 3 and heading for the 2 massive mid-orbit Golan III battle stations. Their TIE fighters were swarming ahead of them, heading toward the defenders now beginning to emerge from the low-orbit space dock facility and from Coruscant's surface. On the master visual display, occasional flashes of turbolaser fire flickered as both sides began to fire ranging shots. General Ryken was standing a few steps back from the main command console when Leia reached him.
"Princess?"
he nodded gravely in greeting.
"General?"
she nodded back breathlessly, throwing a quick look across the console displays. Coruscant's energy shield was up. The ground-based defenses were coming rapidly to full combat status, and a second wave of X-Wings and B-Wings were beginning to scramble from the space dock. And standing in front of the raised command chair, barking out orders to everyone in sight, was Admiral Drayson.
"Drayson?"
she demanded.
"Akbar is on an inspection tour of the Kataris region," Ryken said grimly. "That leaves Drayson in charge."
Leia looked up at the master tactical, a sinking feeling settling firmly in her stomach. Drayson was competent enough, but against Grand Admiral Thrawn, competent wasn't good enough.
"Has the sector fleet been alerted?"
"I think we got the word out to them before the shield went up,"
Ryken said.
Unfortunately, one of the first things the Imperials hit was the out-orbit relay station. So there's no way of knowing whether or not they heard. Not without opening the shield.
The sinking feeling sunk a little lower.
Then this isn't just a feint to draw the sector fleet here, Leia said. Otherwise, they'd have left the relay station alone so we could keep calling for help.
I agree, Riken said. Whatever Thrawn has in mind, we seem to be it.
Leia nodded wordlessly, gazing up at the visual display. The Star Destroyers had entered the battle station's outer kill zones now, and the black of space was beginning to sparkle with more serious turbolaser fire. Outside the main fire field, dreadnoughts and other support ships were forming a perimeter to protect the Star Destroyers from the defenders rising toward them. On the Master Tactical, a flicker of pale white light shot upward, an ion cannon blast from the surface, streaking toward the Star Destroyers.
Waste of power, Riken muttered contemptuously. They're way out of range.
And even if they weren't, Leia knew, the electronics disrupting charge would have had as much chance of hitting the battle station as any of the Star Destroyers it had been aimed at. Ion cannon weren't exactly known for tight beam accuracy.
We've got to get someone else in command here, she said, looking around the war room. If she could find Mon Mothma and persuade her to put Riken in charge... Abruptly, her eyes stopped their sweep. There, standing against the back wall, gazing up at the Master Tactical, was Sina Lakevold Medanil, chief advisor to General Garm Bel Iblis, who was considerably more than merely competent. I'll be back, she told Riken, and headed off into the crowd.
Counselor Organa Solo,
Sina said as Leia reached her, a tautness straining her face and sense.
I was told to stay back here, out of the way. Can you tell me what's happening?
What's happening is that we need Garm,
Leia said, glancing around.
Where is he?
Observation gallery,
Sina said, nodding upward toward the semicircular balcony running around the back half of the war room. Leia looked up. Beings of all sorts were beginning to pour into the gallery. Government civilians, most of them, who were authorized this deep into the command floor, but weren't cleared for access to the war room proper. Sitting alone to one side, gazing intently at the master displays, was Bel Iblis.
Get him down here, Leia told Sina. We need him.
Sina seemed to sigh.
He won't come down, she said.
Not unless and until Mon Mothma asks him to.
His own words.
Leia felt her stomach tighten. Bel Iblis had more than his share of stiff-necked pride, but this was no time for personal squabbles.
He can't do that. We need his help.
Sina shook her head minutely.
I've tried. He won't listen to me.
Leia took a deep breath.
Maybe he'll listen to me.
I hope so.
Sina gestured toward the display, where one of Bel Iblis's dreadnoughts had appeared from the space dock to join the rising wave of starfighters, Corellian gunships, and escort frigates blazing toward the invaders.
That's the Harrier, she identified it. My sons Peter and David are aboard it.
Leia touched her shoulder.
Don't worry. I'll get him down here.
The center section of the gallery was becoming almost crowded by the time she reached it, but the area around Bel Iblis was still reasonably empty.
Hello, Leia, he said as she came up to him. I thought you'd be down below.
I should be, and so should you, Leia said. We need you down...
You have your comm link with you,
he cut her off sharply. She frowned at him.
Yes.
Get it out, now. Call Drayson and warn him about those two interdictors.
Leia looked at the Master Tactical. The two interdictor cruisers that had come in late to the party were doing some fine-tuned maneuvering, their hazy gravity wave cones sweeping across one of the battle stations.
Thrawn pulled this stunt on us at Cat Kristak,
Bel Iblis went on.
He uses an interdictor cruiser to define a hyperspace edge, then brings a ship in along an intersecting vector to drop out at a precisely chosen point. Drayson needs to pull some ships up on those flanks to be ready for whatever Thrawn's bringing in.
Leia was already digging in her robe pocket.
But we don't have anything here that can take on another Star Destroyer.
It's not a matter of taking it on, Bel Iblis told her. Whatever's on its way will come in blind, with deflectors down and no targeting references. If our ships are in place, we'll get one solid free shot at them. That can make a lot of difference.
I understand, Leia said,
thumbing on her comlink and keying for the central switching operator.
This is Counselor Leia Organa Solo. I have an urgent message for Admiral Drayson.
Admiral Drayson is occupied and cannot be disturbed,
the electronic voice said.
This is a direct council override,
Leia ordered.
Put me through to Drayson.
Voice analysis confirmed. Council override is superseded by military emergency procedure. You may leave Admiral Drayson a message.
Leia ground her teeth, throwing a quick glance at the tactical.
Then put me through to Drayson's chief aide.
Lieutenant Dupree is occupied and cannot...
Cancel.
Leia cut it off.
Get me General Riken.
General Riken is occupied.
Too late,
Bill Iblis said quietly. Leia looked up. The two Victory-class Star Destroyers had suddenly appeared out of hyperspace, dropping in at point-blank range to their target battle stations, exactly as Bell Iblis had predicted. They delivered massive broadsides, then angled away before the station or its defending gunships could respond with more than token return fire. On the tactical, the hazy blue shell indicating the station's deflector shield flickered wildly before settling down again.
Drayson's no match for him.
Bell Iblis sighed.
He just isn't.
Leia took a deep breath.
You have to come down, Garm.
He shook his head.
I can't. Not until Mon Mothma asks me to.
You're behaving like a child,
Leia snapped, abandoning any attempt to be diplomatic about this.
You can't let people die out there just because of personal pique.
He looked at her, and as she glared back, she was struck by the pain in his eyes.
You don't understand, Leia,
he said.
This has nothing to do with me. It has to do with Mon Mothma. After all these years, I finally understand why she does things the way she does. I've always assumed she was gathering more and more power to herself simply because she was in love with power. But I was wrong.
So why does she do it?
Leia demanded, not really interested in talking about Mon Mothma.
Because with everything she does, there are lives hanging in the balance,
he said quietly.
And she's terrified of trusting anyone else with those lives.
Leia stared at him. But even as she opened her mouth to deny it, all the pieces of her life these past few years fell suddenly into place. All the diplomatic missions Mon Mothma had insisted she go on, no matter what the personal cost in lost Jedi training and strained family life. All the trust she'd invested in Ackbar and a few others. All the responsibility that had been shifted onto fewer and fewer shoulders. Onto the shoulders of those few she could trust to do the job right.
That's why I can't simply go down and take command,
Bell Iblis said into the silence.
Until she's able to accept me, really accept me, as someone she can trust, she won't ever be able to give me any genuine authority in the New Republic. She'll always need to be hovering around in the background somewhere, watching over my shoulder to make sure I don't make any mistakes. She hasn't got time for that. I haven't got the patience. And the friction would be devastating for everyone caught in the middle.
He nodded toward the war room.
When she's ready to trust me, I'll be ready to serve. Until then, it's better for everyone involved if I stay out of it.
Except for those dying out there,
Leia reminded him tightly.
Let me call her, Garm. Maybe I can persuade her to offer you command.
Bell Iblis shook his head.
If you have to persuade her, Leia, it doesn't count. She has to decide this for herself.
Perhaps she has.
Mon Mothma's voice came from behind them. Leia turned in surprise. With all her attention concentrated on Bell Iblis, she hadn't even noticed the older woman's approach.
Mon Mothma,
she said, feeling the guilty awkwardness of having been caught talking about someone behind her back.
It's all right, Leia,
Mon Mothma said.
General Bell Iblis?
Bell Iblis had risen to his feet to face her.
Yes.
Mon Mothma seemed to brace herself.
We've had more than our share of differences over the years, General. But that was a long time ago. We were a good team once. There's no reason why we can't be one again.
She hesitated again, and with a sudden flash of insight, Leia saw how incredibly difficult this was for her. How humiliating it was to face a man who'd once turned his back on her, and to admit aloud that she needed his help. If Bell Iblis was unwilling to bend until she'd said the words he wanted to hear. And then, to Leia's surprise, Bell Iblis straightened to a military attention.
Mon Mothma,
he said formally.
Given the current emergency, I hereby request your permission to take command of Coruscant's defense.
The lines around Mon Mothma's eyes smoothed noticeably, quiet relief coloring over her sense.
I would be very grateful if you would do so, Garm.
He smiled.
And let's get to it.
Together, they headed for the stairway down to the command floor, and with a newly humbled sense of her own limitations, Leia realized that probably half of what she'd just witnessed had passed her by completely. The long and perilous history Mon Mothma and Bel Iblis had shared had created an empathy between them, a bond and understanding far deeper than Leia's Jedi insights could even begin to track through. Perhaps, she decided, it was that empathy that formed the true underlying strength of the New Republic, the strength that would create the future of the galaxy, if it could withstand the next few hours. Clenching her teeth, she hurried after them. A pair of Corellian gunships shot past the Chimera, sending a volley of turbolaser fire spattering across the bridge deflector shield. A squadron of TIE fighters was right on their tail, sweeping into a Relis flanking maneuver as they tried for a clear shot. Beyond them, Pelion spotted an escort frigate cutting into backup position across the gunship's exit vector.
Squadron A4, move to Sector 22,
Pelion ordered. So far, as near as he could tell, the battle seemed to be going well.
There they go,
Thrawn commented from beside him. Pelion scanned the area.
Where?
He asked.
They're preparing to pull back,
Thrawn told him, pointing to one of the two rebel dreadnoughts that had joined the battle.
Observe how that dreadnought is moving into cover position for a retreat. There,
the second one is following suit. Pelion frowned at the maneuvering dreadnoughts. He still didn't see it, but he'd never yet seen Thrawn wrong on such a call.
They're abandoning the battle stations.
Thrawn snorted gently.
They never should have brought those ships out to defend them in the first place. Golan defense platforms can take considerably more punishment than their former ground commander apparently realized. Their former ground commander?
Yes, Thrawn said.
At a guess, I'd say our old Corellian adversary has just been put in command of Coruscant's defense. I wonder what took them so long.
Pelion shrugged, studying the battle area. The Grand Admiral was right. The defenders were starting to pull back.
Perhaps they had to wake him up.
Perhaps. Thrawn sent a leisurely look around the battle area. You see how the Corellian offers us a choice. Stay here and duel with the battle stations, or follow the defenders down into range of the ground-based weaponry.
Fortunately, his eyes glittered, we have a third option.
Pelion nodded. He'd been wondering when Thrawn would unveil his brilliant new siege weapon.
Yes, sir,
he said.
Shall I order the tractor launching? We'll wait for the Corellian to pull his ships back a bit further,
Thrawn said.
We wouldn't want him to miss this. Understood,
Pelion said, stepping back to his command chair. He sat down and confirmed that the asteroids and the hangar bay tractor beams were ready, and waited for the Grand Admiral's order.
All right, Bel Iblis said. Harrier, begin pulling back. Cover those escort frigates on your port side flank. Red Leader, watch out for those TIE interceptors.
Leia watched the tactical display, holding her breath. Yes, it was going to work. Unwilling to risk the ground-based weaponry, the Imperials were letting the defenders retreat back toward Coruscant. That left only the two battle stations still in danger, and they were proving themselves more capable of absorbing damage than Leia had realized they could. And even that would be ending soon. The Grand Admiral would know better than to be here when the Sector Fleet arrived. It was almost over, and they'd gotten through it.
General Bel Iblis, an officer at one of the monitor stations spoke up. We're getting a funny reading from the Chimera's hangar bay.
What is it?
Bel Iblis asked, stepping over to the console.
It reads like the launching tractor beam's being activated,
the officer said, indicating one of the multicolored spots on the Star Destroyer silhouette centered in his display.
But it's pulling far too much power. Could they be launching a whole TIE squadron together?
Leia suggested.
I don't think so, the officer said. That's the other thing. Near as we can tell, nothing at all left the bay.
Beside Leia, Bel Iblis stiffened.
Calculate the exit vector, he ordered. All ships, Send her focus along that path for drive emissions. I think the Chimera's just launched a cloaked ship.
Someone nearby swore feelingly. Leia looked up at the master visual display, her throat suddenly tight, as the memory of that brief conversation she and Han had had with Admiral Ackbar flashed back to mind. Ackbar had been solidly convinced, and had convinced her, that the double-blind properties of the cloaking shield made it too user-dangerous to be an effective weapon. If Thrawn had found a way around that problem...
"They're firing again," the sensor officer reported. "And again!"
"Same from the Death's Head," another officer put in. "Firing again. Signal the battle stations to track and fire along those vectors," Belibliss ordered. "As close to the Star Destroyers as possible.
We've gotta find out what Thrawn's up to."
The word was barely out of his mouth when there was a flash of light from the visual display. One of the escort frigates, along the first projected vector, was suddenly ablaze, its aft section trailing fiery drive gases as the whole ship spun wildly about its transverse axis.
"Collision!"
someone barked.
"Escort frigate Evinru! Impact with unknown object!"
"Impact?"
Belibliss echoed.
"Not a turbo laser shot?"
"Telemetry indicates physical impact,"
the other shook his head. Leia looked back at the visual, where the Evinru was now wreathed in burning gas as it fought to get its spin under control.
"Cloaking shields are supposed to be double-blind," Leia said. "How are they maneuvering?"
"Maybe they're not,"
Belibliss said, his voice dark with suspicion.
"Tactical. Give me a new track from point of impact with the Evinru. Assume inert object. Calculate impact velocity by distance to the Chimera. And don't forget to factor in the local gravitational field. Feed probable location to the Harrier. Order it to open fire as soon as it has the coordinates."
"Yes, sir,"
one of the lieutenants spoke up. "Feeding to Harrier now."
"On second thought, belay that last,"
Belibliss said, holding up a hand.
"Order the Harrier to use its ion cannon only. Repeat, ion cannon only. No turbo lasers."
Leia frowned at him.
"You're trying to take the ship intact?"
"I'm trying to take it intact, yes,"
Belibliss said slowly.
"But I don't think it's a ship."
He fell silent. On the visual, the Harrier's ion cannon began to fire. The dreadnought opened fire, as indeed Thrawn had predicted it would. But only, Pellion noted, with some surprise, with its ion cannon.
"Admiral?"
"Yes, I see," Thrawn said. "Interesting. I was right, Captain. Our old Corellian adversary is indeed in command below. But he's allowed us to lead him by the nose only so far."
Pellion nodded, as understanding suddenly came.
"He's trying to knock out the asteroid's cloaking shield,
hoping to take it intact."
Thrawn touched his control board.
"Forward turbo laser batteries. Track and target asteroid number one. Fire on my command only."
Pellion looked down at his magnified visual display. The dreadnought had found its target, its ion beams vanishing in mid-space as they flooded down into the cloaking shield. It shouldn't be able to take much more of that. Abruptly, the stars in that empty region vanished. For a couple of heartbeats, there was complete blackness as the cloaking shield collapsed in on itself. Then, just as abruptly, the newly uncloaked asteroid was visible. The ion beams cut off.
"Turbo lasers, stand by," Thrawn said. "We want them to have a good look first. Turbo lasers, fire!"
Pellion shifted his attention to the viewport. The green fire lanced out, disappearing into the distance as they converged on their target. A second later, there was a faint flash from that direction. A flash that was repeated more strongly from his visual display. Another salvo. Another and another.
"Cease fire," Thrawn said with clear satisfaction. "They're welcome to whatever's left. Hangar bay, firing status."
"We're up to 72, sir,"
the engineering officer reported, his voice sounding a little strained.
"But the power feedback shunt's starting to glow white. We can't keep up these dry firings much longer without burning out either the shunt or the tractor projector itself."
"Close down dry firing," Thrawn ordered, "and signal the other ships to do likewise. How many total firings have there been, Captain?"
Pellion checked the figures.
287,
he told the Grand Admiral.
"I presume all 22 actual asteroids are out?"
"Yes, sir,"
Pellion confirmed.
Most of them in the first 2 minutes. Though there's been no way of knowing if they've taken up their prescribed orbits.
The specific orbits are irrelevant, Thrawn assured him. All that matters is that the asteroids are somewhere in the space around Coruscant. Pelion smiled. Yes, they were. Except that there were only a fraction of the number the rebels thought were there.
And now we leave, sir?
Now we leave, Thrawn confirmed. For the moment, at least, Coruscant is effectively out of the war. Drayson nodded to the battle ops colonel and stepped back to the small group waiting for him a short distance behind the consoles. The final numbers are in, he said, his voice sounding a little hollow. They can't be absolutely certain they didn't miss any through the battle debris, but even so, the count is 287.
287?
General Riken repeated, his jaw dropping slightly. That's the number, Drayson nodded, turning his glare on Bel Iblis. As if, Leia thought, all this was somehow Bel Iblis's fault. What now? Bel Iblis was rubbing his cheek thoughtfully.
For starters, I don't think the situation is quite as bad as it looks, he said. From everything I've heard about how expensive cloaking shields are, I can't see Thrawn squandering the kind of resources 300 of them would take. Especially when a much smaller number would do the job just as well.
You think the other tractor beam firings were faked? Leia asked.
They couldn't have been,
Riken objected.
I was watching the sensor board. Those projectors were definitely drawing power.
Bel Iblis looked at Drayson.
You know more about Star Destroyers than the rest of us, Admiral. Is it possible?
Drayson frowned off into the distance, professional pride momentarily eclipsing his personal animosity toward Bel Iblis.
It could be done, he agreed at last. You could run a feedback shunt from the tractor beam projector, either to a flash capacitor or a power dissipator somewhere else on the ship. That would let you run a sizable surge of power through the projector without it really doing anything.
Is there any way to tell the difference between that and an actual asteroid launch?
Mon Mothma asked.
From this distance? Drayson shook his head. No.
It doesn't matter how many ships are up there, Riken said. Eventually, their orbits will decay, and letting even one hit the ground would be a disaster. Until we've cleared them out, we can't risk lowering the planetary shield.
The problem being how we locate them, Drayson agreed heavily, and how we know when we've gotten them all.
A movement caught Leia's eye, and she looked over as a tight-faced Colonel Bremen joined them.
Again, it could be worse,
Bel Iblis pointed out.
The sector fleet can have the out-orbit relay station replaced in a few hours, so at least we'll be able to direct the New Republic's defense from here. It'll also make it easier to transmit an all-worlds alert,
Bremen spoke up.
Mara Jade's escaped.
Mon Mothma inhaled sharply.
How?
She asked.
With help,
Bremen said grimly.
The guard droid was deactivated. Some kind of jury-rigged restraining bolt. It erased that section of memory, too.
How long ago? Riken asked.
No more than a few hours.
Bremen glanced around the war room.
We've had extra security on the command floor since the break was discovered, thinking they might have been planning some sabotage to coincide with the Imperial's attack.
That could still be the plan, Bel Iblis said. Have you sealed off the palace?
Like a smuggler's profit box,
Bremen said.
I doubt they're still here, though.
We'll need to make certain of that,
Mon Mothma said.
I want you to organize a complete search of the palace, Colonel.
Bremen nodded.
Right away.
Leia braced herself. They weren't going to be happy about this.
Don't bother, Colonel,
she said, touching Bremen's arm to stop him as he turned to leave.
Mara's not here.
They all looked at her.
How do you know?
Bel Iblis asked.
Because she left Coruscant earlier tonight, along with Han and Luke.
There was a long silence.
I wondered why Solo didn't come to the war room with you,
Bel Iblis said.
You want to tell us what's going on?
Leia hesitated. But surely none of these people could possibly have anything to do with the Delta Source security leak.
Mara thinks she knows where the Empire's cloning facility might be. We thought it would be worth sending her and a small team to check it out.
We thought, Drayson snapped.
Who is this we?
Leia looked at him straight in the eye.
My family and closest friends, she said. The only people I can be absolutely certain aren't leaking information to the Empire.
That is a gross insult.
Enough, Admiral.
Mon Mothma cut him off calmly. Calmly, but there was a hardness around her eyes.
Whatever reprimands may be due here can wait until later. Whether it was prudent or otherwise, the fact remains that they're on their way, and we need to decide how best to help them. Leia, the most important thing to do is to pretend Mara's still here,
Leia said, the tightness in her chest easing slightly.
She told me she'd only been to Wayland once, and she couldn't guess how long it would take her to reconstruct the route. The longer lead they have, the less time the Empire will have to rush reinforcements there. What happens then?
Mon Mothma asked.
Assuming they find it, they'll try to destroy it.
There was a moment of silence.
By themselves? Drayson said.
Unless you have a spare fleet to lend them, yes,
Leia said. Mon Mothma shook her head.
You shouldn't have done it, Leia,
she said.
Not without consulting the Council.
If I'd brought it to the Council, Mara might be dead now,
Leia said bluntly.
If news leaked to the Empire that she could find Wayland, the next commando team they sent wouldn't stop at just trying to discredit her.
The Council is above suspicion,
Mon Mothma said, her voice turning chilly.
Are all the Council members aides?
Leia countered.
Or the tactical people and supply officers and library researchers? If I'd suggested an attack on Wayland to the Council, all of those people would eventually have known about it.
And more, Bell Iblis nodded. She has a point, Mon Mothma.
I'm not interested in laying blame, Garn,
Mon Mothma said quietly.
Nor in defending anyone's little niche of power. I'm concerned about the possibility that all this was indeed a setup, Leia, and that it would cost your husband and brother their lives.
Leia swallowed hard.
We thought about that, too,
she said.
But we decided it was worth the risk, and there was no one else to do it.
For a long minute, no one said anything. Then Mon Mothma stirred.
You'll need to talk to everyone who knows Mara Jade is gone, Colonel,
she said to Bremen.
If and when we obtain Wayland's location, we'll see what we can do about sending reinforcements to help them.
Provided we can be sure it isn't a trap, Drayson added, glowering.
Of course,
Mon Mothma agreed, avoiding Leia's eyes.
For now, that's all we can do. Let's concentrate on Coruscant's immediate problems. Defense, and finding those cloaked asteroids. General Bell Iblis?
A tentative hand touched Leia's shoulder, and she turned to find the slicer, Ghent, standing there.
It's all over?
He muttered to her.
The battle is, yes,
she said, glancing at Mon Mothma and the others. They were already knee-deep into a discussion about the asteroids, but eventually one of them was bound to notice Ghent and realize he wasn't supposed to be here.
Come on,
she told him, steering him back toward the war room exit.
I'll tell you all about it outside. What did you think of Imperial battle encrypt codes?
Oh, they're okay, he said. The guys in there didn't let me do all that much, really. I didn't know their machines as well as they did. They had kind of a silly drill going, too.
Leia smiled. The best and smoothest decrypting routine the New Republic's experts had come up with, and Ghent considered it a silly drill.
People get into routines on the way they do things,
she said diplomatically.
Maybe I can arrange for you to talk to the person in overall charge and offer some suggestions.
Ghent waved a vague hand.
Nah, military types wouldn't like the way I do things. Even Card gets bent out by it sometimes. By the way, you know that pulse transmitter you've got going somewhere nearby?
The one Delta Source has been using?
Leia nodded.
Counterintelligence has been trying to locate it since it started transmitting. But it's some sort of cross-frequency split phase something or other, and they haven't had any luck.
Oh. Ghent seemed to digest that. Well, that's a tech problem. I don't know anything about those.
That's all right,
Leia assured him.
I'm sure you'll find other ways to help.
Yeah, he said, digging a data card from his pocket. Anyway, here.
She frowned as she took the card.
What's this?
It's the encrypt code from the pulse transmitter.
Leia stopped short.
It's what?
He stopped too, turning innocent eyes on her.
The encrypt code that cross-frequency what's-this is using. I finally got it sliced.
She stared at him.
Just like that?
You just went ahead and sliced it?
He shrugged again.
Well, sort of. I've been working on it for a month, you know.
Leia gazed at the data card in her hand, a strange and not entirely pleasant thrill of excitement tingling through her.
Does anyone know you have this?
She asked quietly. He shook his head.
I thought about giving it to that colonel in there before I left, but he was busy talking to someone.
Delta Source's encrypt code.
And Delta Source didn't know they had it.
Don't tell anyone else, she said. And I mean anyone.
Ghent frowned, but shrugged.
Okay, whatever you say.
Thank you,
Leia murmured, sliding the data card into her robe pocket. It was the key to Delta Source. Deep within her, she knew that. All she needed was to find the right way to use it. And to find it fast.